We're going to pick up again tonight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. But we'll go ahead and start from verse 1 and read up to our text for tonight. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away your sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, we talked about how John is telling the readers that this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is what he's been hammering home in 1 John. Okay, not only that we are to walk in the light where Christ is, he draws a line, hey, if you say you're a Christian, but yet you walk in darkness, you lie, you do not practice the truth. But he's been hammering the home the fact that we should love one another, just as Christ loved us. Then he used the example of how we should not love one another. And not as Cain, who murdered his brother. Okay? And then he goes on to say in verse 13 that, hey, don't be marveled. Don't let it be a shock to you if the world hates you. Because the world is going to hate you. So verse 14 now. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Okay, he starts off here, we. Who do you think he's talking about here when he says we?
The church.
The church, okay. Believers, Christians, children of God. We, believers, know. Okay? The word no here means no doubts, no wondering. It's an assured fact. Okay, so it's a matter of fact. We know that we have passed from death to life. Okay? So Christians absolutely know that we have passed from death to life. Now, what is he saying here? Does he mean that, that maybe a couple of them died and then they came back, What is he saying here? Caitlin?
That we passed from our sin and we won't go to hell.
Okay, yes.
We'll live in righteousness and we'll go to heaven.
Okay, good. He's talking spiritually here, isn't he? That we have passed from spiritual death to being alive spiritually. Okay, and it's, again, we know is an assured thing. It's not some wondering, oh, am I alive now? You know, am I really a Christian? No, we know we have passed from death to life. And what a comforting thing to know. Amen? Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Here Paul in Ephesians talks about our former state, that how we were all once dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins. We were slaves to our sins. We could not see where we were going. We had no hope. We were headed straight to destruction. We were dead. And what does it say there? That He made you alive. We didn't make ourselves alive. God made us alive. Thank you, Father, for enlightening us and making us alive. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Listen to this. Who has delivered us? God. God has delivered us from the power of darkness, of being dead. Amen. That He has delivered us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So again, who has made us alive? Yes. He has made us alive together with Him and forgiven us all our trespasses, all our sins. Ephesians 2:5. Even when you were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So when we were dead in our trespasses, just sinning away, that's all we could do was sin. He made us alive. Amen? John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Okay, so John here is talking about spiritually. We who were once dead in our sins, had no hope, we were lost, spiritually dead. He has made us alive. Now we have hope. Now we are His children. Now we can have eternal life to be with Him, honoring Him and praising Him for all eternity. Okay, so John is saying here, we know that we have passed from death spiritually to life. We're new persons. We're new creatures. Okay? Why? Let's go on in our text. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Ah, so that's how I get saved. No. The word love here is agapeo. And it's to love in a social or moral sense. Okay, so in a social or moral sense, how does that relate to love? Does that mean that something comes along with love, that there's something to the love? Yes, okay? It kind of sounds like faith with works, right? Okay? James 2:14 through 16, I think Jessica read this a few weeks ago. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" Okay, that's the same thing here with love. Okay, same principle here. If James, you know, decides he's going to live out on his own, okay, and he's working hard full time, and but yet he's struggling to make ends meet. You know, he's paying all the bills, but his refrigerator is empty. And man, poor James, he is hungry. You know, he's getting skinny like me and kind of turning pale white and really hungry. You know, and he comes to youth and shares, you know, you guys, I'm working real hard, you know, and all my bills are being paid, you know, I just, you know, didn't have any money left over for food, you know. And then Elijah says, well, James, I'm glad you're working hard, you know, I'll be praying for you and good luck. I hope you get to eat sometime. You know, is that love? Absolutely not. And so love in a social and moral sense would be Elijah saying, hey, you know, I've got some money. Let's go buy you some groceries. You know, or why don't you come over to our house tonight and have dinner with my family? Who is the brethren here? It says here, because we love the brethren. Who is the brethren? Us, each other, fellow Christians. Okay? Because we love the brethren. MacArthur writes, becoming a Christian is a resurrection from death to life, which John just said, and a turning of hate to love. A lack of love indicates that one is spiritually dead. Love is the sure test of whether someone has experienced the new birth or is still in the darkness of spiritual death. See, because if I claim to be a Christian, if I claim to be in the light, and yet I know my brothers and sisters are in need, they're naked, they're destitute, they have no hope, they... You know, their cars broke down. They can't get to work, you know, whatever. And I say, well, you know, good luck. You know, I hope you can make it to your job and not get fired. Or I hope you have food to eat. You know, I wish you well. Good luck. That's not love. A true child of God, a true Christian, is going to look out for the needs of his brothers and sisters. Right? Philippians 2, 5 through 8. And that is our duty here. John says, we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Because we're looking out for each other. Because when someone comes and says they have a prayer request, someone has died, the rest of us are saying, you know what? Are you okay? I'm sorry to hear of the loss. I will be praying for you. Is there anything I can do? How can I comfort you? Let me walk with you. Let me cry with you. Isn't that what the Word of God says? That when someone has joy I can't think of the verse off the top of my head, but rejoice with them. Yes, thank you. When someone is hurting, should we say, well, you know, I'm sorry. Man, I'm sure I'm glad I'm not that guy. No, but to suffer and be sad with them. Literally to sit and cry with them. That's what love is. Now, do not be confused in thinking that because you love the brethren, you have salvation. Which would be what? A work. We can't earn our salvation. What we just read a few verses that He made us alive. We were dead in our sins. He made us alive. By grace we have been saved. It's not that I can, well, let's see. If I really try and love Matt this week and help him out, man, that'll be a good step to my salvation. Then the next week if I help James and so on. We can't earn salvation. But because we're Christians, because He has made us alive, because we know that we have been passed from death to life, it comes natural now. Why? Because we have His nature. We're a new person. Before, we were too busy, you know, hating each other and living in sin and blinded. But because He has made us alive, we love. We have hope. We look out for one another. It comes naturally now that we're a new person. So please don't be confused that because you love each other, you're earning your salvation. That's not it at all. It is the proof of our salvation. Everyone understand that? It is the proof of our salvation, not the ground of it. It shows that indeed we are His children because we are loving one another. You know, the Bible says, you know, if about a widow, okay, if her family's not taking care of her, who should be taking care of her? The church.
I just want to emphasize the fact that not only does, you know, it proves that we are saved if we love the brethren, and we can't say that we love the brethren and think that we're saved because we're not capable of that type of love without Christ, without being saved, without Him living in us and through us, because we can, sure, I can say that I love James or whatever, but I can't really. I mean, I could, you know, if that was a situation with James, yeah, I could go buy him food. Mm-hmm. You know, I could help him out, but just because I do that doesn't mean I love him. Mm-hmm. And it's not humanly possible of that type of love without Christ.
Without Christ, exactly right. And that's why I like, you know, MacArthur's quote there. It's a turning of hate to love. Because Christ has saved us, given us a new nature, that we can love just as He has loved us. Okay, so let's continue on now. So we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Now, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, most of the older manuscripts, and I believe the New American Standard, someone can check, omits the word brother. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, the new NASB, I don't even think it has it in there, does it?
It says, he who does not love abides in death.
Okay. Which then makes this statement more general. Okay. Galatians kind of carries this idea, this principle, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of the faith. Okay? He says here, let us do good. Let us love everyone. You know, because what good is it if I come in here and just love you guys and then go out there and hate the world, hate the unbelievers? Well, that's sure representing Christ real good. You know? What happens, you know, when we come in here and we love one another and then we got to go deal with, let's say, a cell phone issue. And you got to call up your provider because your cell phone hasn't been working. You know, and you rip into this guy. You chew him out. Does that do any good for us to love the brethren but not love the world? But he does say now, let us do good to all, especially though to those who are the household of the faith. Okay? Listen to Christ's words in Matthew 5:43-47. Christ says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, remember this is Christ, everyone listen. But I say to you, love your enemies. He says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Listen to this. He goes on. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? He's saying, hey, If you just love the brethren, you're no different than the tax collector, than the unchristian, the heathen. Because even they love themselves, you know, each other. There's people out there who are unchristians and feed the poor and, you know, help each other out. So we would be no different if we just love each other. So it's more general when you take brother out. And like I said, most of the original manuscripts don't have the word brother in there. So it reads, he who does not love abides in death. Everyone getting the idea here? Okay. So to those who do not love, whether it's a fellow Christian or an unbeliever, abide in death. And hopefully by now, we should all know what the word abides mean, or abideth in the King James. Anyone want to take a shot at it? Someone else besides Caitlin? Someone else besides Crystal?
To make it your lifestyle and just always abide by that.
Okay, yeah, you're on the right track. Chris?
To follow or to...
Close. Hand.
Be
no, that, yeah, I, if I know what you're saying, you, okay. Elijah?
To continue in a given state, place, or... Yeah.
Right. To stay in a given place, state, or relation. Another, to dwell, to continue, to remain, to be with. Yes, it's a lifestyle, way of life, something that you are remaining in. You're dwelling in, you're continuing in. Okay, so now listen. Listen. He who does not love abides, remains, continues, dwells in death. John is given a warning here that if you do not love your brethren, your fellow believers, if you do not love the world, you abide in death. That's serious there. That's not something we should just take lightly. Well, I'm loving most of the time. I'm not that bad. I don't lash out at people all the time. Just every once in a while when they make me mad. Remember, it is the proof of our salvation that we have Christ's love in us now. Because like he said, we can't love each other unless Christ has done the work in us. He made us alive. He brought us from death, from hate, to life. And then commands us to love one another. He's hammering this home. I mean, just a few verses earlier, 2 weeks ago, this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not like Cain, but as Christ loved the church. And we all know what he did for the church. He gave his life for the church, for us. We were enemies, and he died for us. There's no greater love. And he's calling each and every single one of us to love the same way. And if we don't love one another and unbelievers, we abide in death. There has not been a change in us. We still remain in spiritual death. Spiritual death, which was our very nature had God not had grace and mercy upon us. If we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be in the light, guess what? Then there should be love. There should be love for the saints, and there should be love for everyone. Ask yourselves this. I don't want any hands raised or any remarks or anything. Just ask yourselves this. Do I have love in my life? Do I love everyone here at this place? Do I love my family? Do I love the sinful world? Do I have love? Is it demonstrated in my life? Do I have that type of love that Christ displayed? A love that's humble. A love that sacrifices itself for the good of others. A love that is willing to lay down its life for someone else. This type of love is what God requires of all of us. And if we don't have this love, we abide in death. And chances are, we're not a child of God. Because we cannot claim to be a child of God and do not love. We'd just be a clanging cymbal, right? Amen? So you guys think about that this week. Do I have love? Is there love in my life? Do I demonstrate that love, Christ's love, to my family? When we meet Friday nights, do we have love for one another? And not just on Friday nights, but as we go home through the week, are we praying for one another? That's love. Do we call up the person who's missed a few weeks and say, hey, we've missed you? That's love. Do we weep with those who are weeping, who are mourning? That's love. Do we rejoice with those who are rejoicing? That's love. There should be no jealousy, no quarrels amongst us, because we should be too busy tripping over each other to serve one another. So think about this as you go home and reread our text. Right? Because we're all students of the Word. Let's pray. Father, again, we praise You. Lord, may our life, may our words, may our actions tell of Your glories. May the sinful world see You inside of us. May they see You in our words. May they see You in our actions. Actions that show that we are Your children. That we belong to You. Not actions that are trying to earn something. But because You have made us alive. Because You have brought us from death, where we had no hope. We were on the road for destruction. You had grace. You knew us from before the foundations of the world. And You chose to save a people like us. And have brought us to life. What love. What an amazing love that You can give us life and call us Your children. And it doesn't stop there. You have blessed us with everything we need for life. Lord, may we be obedient children. May we love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And may we love one another. As we've been going through Your holy word, Father, we have read verse after verse after verse that show us and tell us, love one another. And that if we don't love, we're still dead in our sins. There has been no change. If that is the case, Lord, may Your Spirit bring conviction. May we repent and turn from our sins. Lord, let Your word pierce us. And we ask, Lord, that it would do its work in our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen.